See everybody out this morning. We appreciate you coming out on a beautiful day to enter into a new curriculum here. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful topic to discuss. This is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if it's Pentecost Sunday celebrated everywhere. I would think it would. I mean, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for the whole church, not certain denominations, but for everybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. And therefore, I would imagine that every church out there is celebrating to some capacity this wonderful event, this blessing of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. I know we in the Pentecostal world, we pay particular attention to it because it is the power by which we live. And we just are always thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're certainly going to talk about it in depth today, to try to learn as much about the outpouring and what He does for us and the beauty of it. And it was all intended when Christ was here that He was going to go to the Father and ask the Father to send another Comforter. And we're here to just marvel in it and be thankful of it. As a matter of fact, it was a kind of a good segue from our Ezekiel study last week when we were talking about the river flowing out of the throne, out of the Holy of Holies. And, we went to the book of John, where Jesus was saying in the last day, he was actually talking about the day that he was celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in the temple with Pharisees and other religious believers. And he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This was a reflection of Ezekiel's vision. But then he concludes, John does, in parentheses in verse 39, by saying, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, Jesus was on earth. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was performing miracles, casting out demons. But there was going to be a greater day that was going to come. He was going to send someone that could not only be there in person, but be present at one place at one time like he physically could be, but the Spirit was going to come where he could be at all places at all time and every believer and lead and guide all of us. And we are so thankful for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning for any of your needs and requests. I heard word that Freddie is home recuperating, so we praise the Lord for that. But I'm sure Sandy and Leslie would still need your prayers. Any others that you'd like the church to understand, to know? Betty? I'm sure. Remember the family of Betty. Yes. Right, Mary. Yes. Okay, remember James's parents. Yes. Any others? Well, join me in prayer as we take these to the Lord. Father, we come before you on this wonderful Sunday morning, Lord, where we can not only learn from your word, but to give you thanks for all your many blessings, including the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our lives that can bring us comfort and peace in times of dismay and confusion and sadness. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, as our spirit cries out on behalf of those people that we have heard this morning that are in need of a touch from your throne. Lord, I pray, God, that you would hear our request, Lord, and join with us, God. I pray that you would pour out your healing touch upon those that are in need this morning. We pray, God, for your comfort to be upon those who have lost loved ones, Lord, people that we have been praying for their healing. Lord, they are with you at this point, Lord, and we just thank you for their lives, and I pray, God, that you administer to those who have lost them, Lord, in physical appearance. I pray, God, for all these requests, for this church, for its leadership, for the guidance that we provide, Lord. I pray that it would come from your Holy Spirit in everything that we do. I pray for this lesson this morning, Lord, that it would that you would put into my mouth, into my words, God, what you would have me to speak. The spirit that lives within me, Lord, speaks through me, Lord, on your behalf to testify of you, God, and I pray that you would manifest yourself this morning. I pray for the continuation of this service, that your spirit would pour out upon all of those, Lord, that are praying and seeking for your touch, Lord, upon their lives. Lord, as we lift your name up as always and give you thanks, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Holy Spirit, throughout the Bible, of course, we see depictions of him. The Old Testament, of course, he was there at creation. We also understand that the prophets of old spake under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They spoke what they heard, and the Holy Spirit would reveal to the prophets of old what they had heard, and therefore they repeated that. There were times, whether it was a judge like Samson or a king like David, when the Holy Spirit would move upon them, and they would act upon that movement, upon that influence. The Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament, but it was in certain situations where he would move upon a person to have them act. When Jesus came to the earth, when the Father sent him to the earth, a new testament, a new covenant was created. And by him being here and giving, pouring out the new testament of grace through his shed blood, he knew that as he came down and was with his disciples, and that a new church was going to be born out of this, and that the old law had been taken away, and the new law of grace, the new covenant was now going to take place, that everyone that would believe in this new covenant would need some type of help and assistance. He was there physically for his chosen 12 disciples. He was there for the throngs of people that would gather around him, and he could educate them, teach them, love them, console them when they were hurting. He was there physically to do that, but his time had come, and he was going to go back and ascend to the Father, and in his place, he was going to send a helper, a comforter that would take his place, but not only in one individual spot at one time, but he would be omnipresent, for he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. And, Jesus was going to send him in his place. I don't know of two greater events in the history of mankind than the two that took place 50 days apart from each other. One was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and the second, 50 days later, was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would help those that would believe on Jesus Christ, would help them in their life's walk. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The title of the lesson here on this Pentecost Sunday is Why the Holy Spirit Came. Why did he come to the earth? What was the purpose of him coming? Why can't we just have the Gospels and live by it and do the commands that Jesus said to do? And why do we need help? Why do we need a helper or a comforter? You'll notice in your quarterly that the majority of the scriptures here are taken out of the book of John. One of the fascinations I had in studying this was that how few places throughout the other Gospels, I mean, we know about Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about the Holy Spirit. When the reference of John the Baptist, when his message was, I baptize you in water for the remission of sins, but one will come greater than me that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You know, so we have that reference, and other places where Mark and Luke will talk about Jesus talking that he will go away, but the Father will send the promise. But in the Synoptic Gospels, as they talk about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you don't have a lot of references to the outpouring or the coming Holy Spirit. John, who's the last gospel to be written, and the one that is that we lean on so much for the prophetic of what's coming through Christ with the Holy Spirit, he speaks in broad terms. He gives full depiction and details of the coming Holy Spirit and the purpose of him, and that's why we want to spend most of our time in the book of John today. So let's start. I'm going to jump around a little bit because they're not in chronological order, but I'm going to put them there. So we're going to just follow along with me as we get into why the Holy Spirit came and why was the purpose of it. They're going to start out with the 14th chapter of John, and they start out with verse 16. I'm going to back up to 15, where it said these simple words. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And this was nearing the time when he would lay his life down. So this is one of the final times that he's going to speak to his disciples. And he says this in verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the command to his disciples. If you love me, listen to me, follow me, keep my commandments, keep what I've told you. Don't let it drift. Stay with me. Stay connected to me, knowing that he was going to go away. So after that statement, he goes into verse 16. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter. He chose the word comforter, for in the word, if you study it out, it doesn't mean something soft and cuddly. It talks about the comforter being a helper, a counselor, someone who strengthens you during times of weakness, someone who counsels you in times of distress. A comforter has multiple purposes. It's a very choice word because it has a broad definition and allows a lot of help to come into your life. So he has chosen that word. I'll give you another comforter, meaning one just like me. When he uses the word another, he's referring to himself. What I have given unto you, I will pray the Father that he will supply you with another one similar, just as the same as you have with me. He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive this comforter, this Spirit of truth, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's a statement that Jesus has first given to his disciples. I'm going to pray that the Father gives you the Holy Spirit as a comforter to come down and be with you, abide with you forever. The world doesn't know this comforter because it can't see him. It's foolishness to the world that a spirit would indwell into a mankind to help him live according to the principles of Christianity. It's foolish to them. The world cannot receive him because the world doesn't believe in Christ, is what Jesus is saying. Because the world doesn't receive me, he cannot receive the comforter because they do not know him. But you know him. How do they know him? He hasn't come yet. You know him because you're with me. If you know me, you know him. And he's telling his disciples, you already know this comforter. I'm not telling you of someone different that's coming, that's of a different makeup, of a different teaching. Everything that you see with me, you're going to get with the comforter. You already know me, so you know him. For he dwelleth with you. The Spirit is here. I am here. But here was the interesting part to the disciples that they weren't predicting. But he shall be in you. Now that is something that was probably strange. Here again, we try to sometimes put ourselves in the lives of these disciples and think, what would we have thought if we were hearing the words of Jesus? You know, not having the Gospels, not being educated in the Gospels and all of that. And we're walking and talking with Jesus, and he says certain things that may strike us peculiar. And this may be one of them when he says he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. The Spirit of the Lord, the Comforter, is going to be in me. So we know then that Jesus knows the importance of why, when we hear again the title of the lesson, why the Holy Spirit came. He knows that he's getting ready to leave and they're going to be discomforted. They're going to be anxious. They're going to be worried. They're going to be sad. How can we continue following the commandments? How can we spread the gospel? How can we baptize those in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost if he's gone? Jesus is saying, I'm going to pray that another comforter will come to support you. Now, a few verses later in the same chapter of 14, John 14, we're going to jump down to verse 26 when he refers to the Comforter again, when he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he's telling the disciples, whom the Father will send in my name, my representative, in my name, by the name of Jesus, will the Holy Spirit come and dwell in you. By no other name will the Holy Spirit come. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit by any other name, by any other faith. The Holy Spirit will come in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. How important is that? Here is a man that they've been walking with for 3 years. Not all of those 3 years were they with him as he gathered them, but here they only spent 3 years with him. He has said many things. He has done many things. They've experienced many things. I don't know if they walked around with notepad and pen and wrote down, and my guess is they did not. But here the Holy Spirit, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why is he coming? Why did he come? Part of that is to teach you all things and to bring back to your remembrance whatever I have said. How important was that? Because the early church was going to be born out of word of mouth. The Gospels had not been written yet when the early church was formed. So as people believe in Jesus Christ, whom they are hearing preached about, and they're accepting the preached word, they're becoming Christians, and they're gathering together to encourage one another on a weekly basis. Something needs to be there to help them grow, and the Holy Spirit is there to teach all things that are true, and remind you of everything that I've said. I can only imagine being a part of that early church when you're gathered together and you've got disciples there, and they are continually to expound what Jesus said, the teachings, what they saw him do, the symbolism, the parables. The Holy Spirit is bringing that back to these men. These men no doubt were worried a little bit, or may not have even given it thought as, how are we going to run a church? At this point, we're not even sure if they understood what their roles were. You know, Jesus, when he laid his life down and when he rose again and then he was seen for 40 days, he walked and talked among the people and he taught them a whole lot of what they were going to be doing after he rose again. But at this point, they're not even sure of what their role is, but yet they're hearing that this Comforter, whom they know, is going to be there to teach them more. Just because I'm leaving, don't lose heart that you're going to lose your knowledge of what I've taught you. He will teach you all things and bring all things back to your remembrance. It's very important for them to understand that. Now, if we go into the next chapter of John 15, here again, John spends a lot of time talking about the role and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. In John 15, he's referring once again to the Comforter, and this is why I'm jumping around putting these together, is to try to explain what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was and is still today. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is another purpose of the Holy Spirit. He is going to testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. That's an important statement, not only for these young disciples, but it's an important statement for us, those of us who rely heavily upon the Holy Spirit to educate us, to teach us, to remind us of what we've read and what we've studied, the scriptures, what Jesus has said, for the Holy Spirit to bring that back to our remembrance in times when we need it the most, the role of the Holy Spirit. But he also says, he will testify of me. He will speak of me. He will talk of me. The Holy Spirit will not talk of another faith. He will not talk of a new movement, a new direction. He will speak of me only, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that ye shall bear witness of it. In other words, have you ever heard people say, I don't bear witness to that? Or I do bear, my spirit bore witness with what I heard? That's coming from this scripture. It's important to bear witness with what you're hearing, especially in the church world or even outside the church when you're talking to friends and family that are trying to tell you, boy, I just came with great revelation and here's what I've heard. If your spirit doesn't bear witness with what you're hearing because it doesn't align up with the scriptures, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you have to be mean or anything else, but you can reject it. You have the power to reject what you're hearing because it doesn't testify of Jesus. We have to know Jesus as the disciples knew Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit within us can reveal to us through discernment that what I'm hearing, I do or do not bear witness with it. because it doesn't testify of Christ with what he said in his scriptures. A vital role of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine a world, in a church world, where there's so many denominations, so many different directions that Christians can go? Can you imagine not having the help of the Holy Spirit in your own life to reveal things as you're hearing all incoming new theories and logical things? Here's what the Lord meant, and here's the direction where the new church is going to go. You know, let's get rid of the old and bring in the new, and here's where we're going. New style, new theology. The Holy Spirit is there to tell us yes or no to that. Does it testify of Christ? Does our spirit bear witness to it? An important role that the Holy Spirit brings to those who are believers. So we get further into the 16th chapter of John. He devotes so many chapters to the Holy Spirit of what Jesus himself was telling them. I want to start off in verse 12, which you don't have, but it says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I have a lot more things that I would like to teach you, a lot of things that I need to tell you, but you're unable to bear them at this point. We don't know fully what he meant by that. Is it that his time had come, or was that the deeper things that he needed to teach them he would leave that to the Holy Spirit? You cannot bear them now, but picking up in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's going to be your guide. Thank the Lord for that. He's going to be your guide as you walk through this life. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Everything that the Holy Spirit does in our life, what he tells us, how he leads us, where he guides us, is what he's hearing from the Father and the direction of the Son. Everything is to glorify the Lord. He will not bring up things that are separate from the Godhead. He is part of the Godhead. And what you hear and how he guides you and he leads you into all truth, that is important to know, that if the Spirit is leading you, he's doing it only on the direction of the Father himself, who has a will and a plan and a purpose for our lives. An important role for us to know. Now, he will speak of himself and he will guide you into all truth. We will go deeper than even some people, some will go deeper in the Holy Spirit than maybe others. There are some that the Holy Spirit reveals things to so that the body can hear and understand. And we praise the Lord for that. Revelation continues to come. God, you know, that God gave us the Bible, but he still speaks to us. And because of that, we are eager to hear of what the Lord would have to say to the body. And he reveals things through his Holy Spirit to those who are open to him. So these are vital things that the Holy Spirit has come to provide. So as I go further into John, let me back up to verse 7. This is John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or very important for you. It is more important for you that I go away than any other reason. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why can't they both stay? Why can't they both be here? The Spirit of the Lord is already on the earth. He was there at creation. He's there when Jesus walked the earth. He was there. What is he saying here? If I'm here with you, the Holy Spirit will not come and be in you. He will not dwell in you while my presence is here. I must be glorified first before he can come. He goes back to the scripture I just read. When John said that when Jesus said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had to be glorified, ascended back to the throne as the King of all, before the Holy Spirit could come in the fulfillment of time and live and dwell in all of us. To be a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus not only came to this earth and laid down his life and shed his blood for your sins, but that he rose again and ascended to the glory of heaven and ascended on the right hand of God and is our Lord and Savior. He had to attain that position for us to believe it, for the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell into our lives, because that is the gospel. Him being our Savior is what we believe, and because of that, he had to be glorified. So, Jesus is saying here that if I don't go away, the Comforter, the one that, you know, even though the Holy Spirit is here, the one that I'm speaking of, the Comforter who's going to dwell inside of you, he will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then he gets into what the Comforter is going to do in the world. And when he has come, he will reprove, which is a word called convict, or similar to convict. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's the first thing he's going to do, is he's going to come and convict people. The Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit, is to convict people of their wrongdoing. If no one had any conviction, they would not know that they were doing wrong. They would just be reacting and acting upon the own desires of their flesh for whatever self-preservation or self-pleasure they have. They would act upon it. But the Holy Spirit is there to convict us and the unbeliever of what they are doing wrong. You can't come to Jesus Christ as your Savior unless the Holy Spirit draws you there. You can't call him Lord unless the Holy Spirit allows you to call him Lord. He is coming to convict those that are wrong, that are doing wrong, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, to set the standard. Why is it sin? Because a standard has been set of morality and of righteousness. Jesus has set the standard that we are to live to, and if we fall short of that, then we're going to be convicted of that. He's setting the standard of righteousness, and if you ignore that and don't do anything about it, then he's going to set the world of judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. He's going to reprove and convict the world of their sin because they have rejected me, Christ. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. I've established the standard of, I've taught what the standard of God, the commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I've established the standard, but you'll see me no more, but the Holy Spirit will keep the standard here. The standard doesn't change. The standard, the commandments of Christ doesn't change because the Holy Spirit keeps it here and he reveals and convicts the world of that standard of righteousness and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is judging the world and convicting the world, leading them to judgment. There's multiple roles for the Holy Spirit. You can see why the importance of him coming is so vital to our lives and to the life of the world. Because if the Holy Spirit had not come to this earth to convict mankind in this type of world, how would we win souls? It's vital that the Holy Spirit come down and be with us and in us to provide us that are believers all of these things that we've talked about, but also for those who are unbelievers, the Holy Spirit has a role to play there, and that's to draw them. It's very vital that he came to us. Now, all that we've read in John is talking about why the Holy Spirit came. Now, we know that you don't have to be Pentecostal to have the Holy Spirit. To be Pentecostal means you have received the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But all Christians who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes into their life. That's how they're reborn. That's their regeneration. The Spirit comes in to make them a new creature. The Spirit, what we talked about, being the Comforter and bringing the Spirit of truth, happens to Christians all over the world. The Spirit comes into their lives. But in Acts, as we get into this Acts chapter 2, something took place with these young Christians that gave them power above what the infilling of the Spirit had already given them as they became believers. As they became believers and Jesus went away and he told the Lord he was going to send the Holy Spirit back down to them. In the book of Acts, We know that Jesus had told them as he was getting ready to ascend back to the Father, I want you to tarry here in Jerusalem. I want you to wait here. Don't go back to your place. Most of them were from up in Capernaum and where his ministry was in Galilee, in the northern part of the country there. I want you to stay in Jerusalem and tarry here. And next week we're going to talk about tarrying and waiting and all that. But I want you to tarry here for the Holy Spirit to come unto you. And we know that in verse 4, where it picks up, they were all there praising the Lord in one accord. And it's important to know that the disciples, when they were in this upper room, they didn't know what was going to happen, nor did they know how it was going to take place. But they did know the purpose for them gathering. Jesus had told them, I want you to tarry and stay here until you be endued with power from on high, so that you can be witnesses of me throughout all of Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all the world, uttermost places of the world. They knew that they were seeking a power from the Holy Spirit, from the Comforter that was going to come upon them, and all they knew to do was to pray for it. All they knew were to gather and worship and praise the Lord and wait through their worshiping for the Holy Spirit to come. And as they've selected verse 4 to be the significant verse here today, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus had told them, whether they remembered this or not, and I think that they probably, as the Spirit came into them, they were reminded of when he said, those that believe in me will... several things will happen. They will be able to cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Maybe they remembered that as the Holy Ghost came down and filled the upper room where they were gathered. When it, you know, the a couple of verses before, it talks about they heard the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and then cloven tongues of fire were visibly setting upon each individual. They could see this thing, where you could actually see the flame of God upon each individual. And then they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. The power came upon them at that point. The power of the Holy Ghost came upon them in a greater way, because out of that power, and we'll learn this when it talks about why the Holy Spirit came, Jesus told them, I want you to tarry, because when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to be endued with power, so that you can be witnesses of me, witnesses by this, that you will do greater things than these. Not that they're going to walk on water, not that they're going to calm the seas, but they're going to do such great things with converting of people over to Christianity and being witnesses and representatives of Jesus Christ, that the power that was going to come upon them was going to give them the power that Paul would later tell us were gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we receive the Holy Spirit at our conversion, and as when we become Christians, we have fruit of the Spirit that comes upon us. These fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about are things that should automatically be produced in our lives because the Holy Spirit is there working a new work in us. But there are gifts of the Spirit, gifts of power, gifts that are purposeful for certain times to be signs to unbelievers so that they can become believers. Signs that are miraculous, and healings, and tongues, and interpretations, and incredible supernatural faith. Not words of knowledge and wisdom, discernment of spirits. These are gifts of the Spirit that can be given at any one particular point in time for a purpose for those who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit should already be active. But the gifts of the Spirit comes upon those who have received the baptism, the infilling, because in the infilling comes the power, and the power that it will allow us to produce these gifts whenever the Holy Spirit chooses for those to be produced. Now, one of the interesting parts of John has spent so much time talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus saying that the Holy Spirit will come. But one of the scriptures that I've always interested me, in the chapter 20, John tells us that the day that Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb and it was rolled away, and he met her and he called her by name and all of these wonderful things that happened, that same night, that same evening, Jesus showed up into the house Now, Jesus had already told all of these disciples, all of the stuff that we've read in John, everything that he was saying, that you're the purpose of the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, he's going to glorify me, he's going to testify of me, all of these things. And he says that same day, in the evening time, this is verse 19 of chapter 20, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This is their first time of seeing the Lord after his resurrection. After he had told Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And then he comes back to visit these disciples. Then said Jesus to them, this is when he first appears to them. He says, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Similar to the book of Genesis, when God breathed life into man that he had formed out of the dust. And the Bible tells us in Genesis, making him a new living creature. A new living creature, the breath of God going into the nostrils of man. He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. At that point, it doesn't say what reaction took place. He doesn't say, you know, they spoke in tongues, they broke out shouting and singing. And we don't know why John would tell us that this is what took place in this place where they were assembled right after Christ had risen from the grave. And he came and he said, this was prior to the upper room experience, and he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now, I've studied this and I've tried my best, and it's very difficult. I mean, commentaries and theologians, some will say that this is just a symbolic statement that Jesus made. This was just something that, you know, he did. He breathed on them in a way of saying, this is the rebirth that I talked about, Nicodemus. You must be born again. This is the receive you the Holy Spirit now that you are believers, because they are now saved because now he has risen again. Remember how we receive salvation. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior because his blood shed is the remission of our sins, and his resurrection gives us eternal life and makes him Lord over our life. Now he has completed all of it. Now he's glorified. Now he has risen from the dead. And now when he comes back to the disciples, he breathes on them and says, receive you the Holy Spirit. Receive you the Holy Ghost. But yet these same men later on will be told by the Lord to tarry in Jerusalem when you shall be endued with power. Some theologians, some commentaries, and this is where your own homework assignment comes in, to study and to pray and to seek this. Some theologians believe that this was the separation between the Spirit of the Lord coming into to every believer. When Jesus breathed on those that were gathered, it was indicative of when we are converted to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives. This is when we receive him. This is when he comes to be our comforter and our helper and our teacher. But the power comes when the baptism takes place, when you seek that further experience, when you come and say, Father, I thank you for the Spirit that's already residing in me, that's producing fruit, that's given me help in my time of need, and it's teaching me all things, but I want the power that goes with the working of the Holy Spirit. I want the baptism, the full baptism, so that I can be used in any way that is needed and necessary to win souls. Jesus knew that it was very necessary for them to have the power. Without the power, they were going to not be as powerful in winning souls that they were going to need to win. The devils that they were going to be able to fight, now they needed that power to fight those demonic attacks. So not only did they receive the Holy Spirit synonymous with breathing new life into them so that they could become a new creature, but now the power is coming in the book of Acts. Later, and we'll conclude with this, John tells us there's a purpose of the Holy Spirit as well. Paul, because John is, at this point, John has told us all that we are to learn about the Holy Spirit through the words of Christ. But now, after Christ is risen, the church has been founded. Paul has spread the gospel. Paul has been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. Paul has started and established churches everywhere. And he's telling the church in Rome, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Boy, is that true. Man, I don't know of a truer statement than that we just don't know what we should pray for as we should. We know that there's prayer needed. We know what our problems are. We feel like we've got a solution, but finding how to pray can be a dilemma. But the Spirit, the one that's going to comfort you, that teaches you all things, brings back all things, remembrance, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. They are one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all one. Jesus is in heaven, giving intercession on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is inside of us when we are wanting to pray, knowing that we need to pray, but not knowing how to pray. The Spirit inside of us knows exactly what needs to be said. He takes over after they search our heart, knowing our desire, deep desire to touch heaven with our prayers. He takes over and makes intercession on our behalf. For us is on our behalf. How much of a blessing is that? That the Holy Spirit is inside of us when we just don't know what to say. When our prayers seem to be going nowhere, when we just don't know how to pray for people, the Holy Spirit is there to take over and intercede on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to the Father where we may not even understand what's being done. But we can feel when this is taking place, we can feel the connection, the power that's coming inside of our hearts, the encouraging faith. Our faith is being lifted when we are praying in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is praying through us. Even though we may not understand what's going on, we can feel the uplifting and the encouraging power of our faith because intercession is being made on our behalf. Paul knew the vital part of the Holy Spirit in that he helps us in our own prayer life. It doesn't just stop with the disciples. The Holy Spirit did not end with the disciples. It wasn't just for them so that they could start the early church and go from there. It's for all believers as we continue. And 2,000 years later, he is still doing the same thing for us as he did for them, if we will believe, yield, and allow him to do this. Next week, we're going to have part two of the Holy Spirit, this one entitled Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Waiting for him. We'll go into depth on what that means as we continue with this very popular and powerful topic, and one that is vital to our livelihood as Christians. Hope you have a wonderful day and a good week, and we'll see you then.